Well, the stage has been set well this morning. This week, the girls and I were watching this movie, I Am Sam. I don't know if any of you guys have... Who's watched that movie before, I Am Sam? Just a few people. It's about a guy. It's not a Christian movie, but it's about a guy who is mentally retarded and has a daughter and is raising that daughter. And he has the education of about a seven-year-old. That is his mental capacity. And so he's raising this daughter who's has normal intelligence capability. And so it just kind of tells the story of him being the parent and then the state getting involved and taking the child away for not being able to raise the child competently. And then there's this trial of whether or not the person, the dad, is competent enough to care for the child and whether he should retain custody. And it's not so much a matter of does he desire to be a father or is he, abusive, because he wasn't abusive at all, but the question was, is he competent to be a parent? And so throughout this whole movie, he gets paired up with this lawyer who's rich and very powerful, but her family life is basically falling apart. And she is not a very good parent at all, because she's dedicated her life to her work, not to her family. And so they, their lives kind of intertwine, and she learns from him how to love, and she is able to help him have the ability to be able to raise his daughter. And it's a very beautiful movie, but it just is a constant reminder of the pain and turmoil that we have in this life, that just because we become a part of the church or just because we have faith in God does not mean that the pain just goes away. It doesn't mean that we are removed from the reality of evil in this world, the pain caused by that evil, and the waning of the effect of the curse of sin on this world. And so, what do we do with that, right? The reality of it is so overwhelming at times. What do we do? We've been looking, and we're kind of finishing up this series on eldership and the organization of the church, and we're going to kind of end up by looking at what is the purpose of the ministry. And we stopped last time that one of the jobs of the elders is to equip the people, the body, for the work of the ministry. And so when we think about the very real pain that we experience in life, part of God's answer to that is you. Each one of you here this morning, you are the answer. You are part of God's answer to the problems of this world. He has given the world, this body, the church, to be his representative on this earth. And so we as a body have a purpose, have a ministry to perform, both to each other as fellow Christians, but also to the world around us. And so we are looking this morning about the ministry of the church. And we're going to start with the purpose of that ministry, where we left off last week. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And so God has given us people with different gifts of the Holy Spirit to help us, the saints, the believers, the ones who are willing to go out and do the work of God for that work. And the purpose of that work is to edify the body of Christ, to build up one another, and to the point that we are united in faith and in knowledge, and that we mature into the image of Christ, the perfect man. And so that is our purpose. Our purpose is to pursue and to press forward into Christ-likeness. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. God loves us. He has given each other to Him, to us. He has given Himself to us so that we could come together, work together to accomplish God's purpose, which is the growth of the body and the edifying of itself in love. Now, Annabelle, she's not wearing it this morning, but she has been wearing this little sling as of late, because she bruised her elbow. Anybody ever broke something before? Man, we got a lot of people that have broken bones. Good. Not good. Well, it's good for this illustration. How enjoyable is it when one of your body parts aren't working? Is anybody like, man, I think I'd like to have that permanently, right? Now, there actually are people who actually... I'm not going to go. They're crazy enough to want to cut off their body parts, like their arms, so they can identify as disabled. Absolutely insane. Luckily, I don't think we have anybody like that here, so we can use this illustration that when part of the body is not doing its share, it hurts, right? It hurts the rest of the body. And we know that because we've broken bones before, and we've had times where one of the members is not doing its share, right? A few years ago, we had a car accident in our family. And for several weeks, I was not able to do my share, right? And that affected my family. It hurt my family. But thankfully, because I have a wonderful wife, I have a wonderful family, I have a wonderful church family, people helped, we were able to get through it. But a lot of times we think of the church as the pastor or the elders. They're the ones that are doing the work. That is not at all what the Bible portrays. It's you guys, each one of us. I don't want to say you guys as in not me being, all of us together are the church, and the design is that every single person is doing their part. And when we all work together, it will cause the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, does that mean everybody needs to be the pastor? No, that doesn't mean everybody needs to be the pastor. There are different ways in which each one of us can participate. And so that's what we're going to talk about mostly this morning, is the different types of ministry. And I don't mean by types of ministry to say there are different ministries. I'm just saying that there's different ways to participate in the ministry. The ministry which causes the growth of the body and the edifying of itself in love. The first one that we're going to look at is the ministry of the word. Acts 6:4, it says, the apostle said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What is the ministry of the word? It is reconciliation or evangelism in one part. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Part of the ministry of the church is to proclaim the word of God, and that is done through preaching. But it is not just done through preaching. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. And therefore, if anyone, not just the preacher, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Raise your hand if you have been made a new creation in Christ. You're the one who has the work of the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And now then we, each one of us, are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through the preacher? No. Through each one of us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Each one of us have a responsibility to go into the world and to implore, to beg, to ask people, hey, there is a better way to live life. You don't have to fight against God. He is willing to forgive and to receive you into his family. Another part of the ministry of the word is teaching and education. Matthew 28:18-20 is the Great Commission. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Who's he telling this to? Just the pastors? Did he say, hey, pastors, I want to get you guys over here. The rest of you guys just sit there, okay? Pastors, I want to get you over here in this little corner, and I just want you to know all the authority was given to me, and I'm giving it to you. Go out there and make the disciples. Is that what he did? No, he's talking to all the disciples that were with him. All the people who were followers of Jesus that were with him at that time. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Every one of you go out and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and do what? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Who has that responsibility to teach? Each one of us, right? Even if we're just teaching ourselves, right? Even if we're just learning for our own benefit, each one of us have a responsibility. And then we should be, as we should be bringing people into the kingdom of God, we should be helping them, teaching them. How about children? Do we have a responsibility to teach our children? Yes, we do. Some of you guys teach Sunday school. Some of you teach the kids with truth trackers. But all of us have a responsibility to teach people. The next one is the ministry of prayer. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Now, that does not mean all men and not the women, right? That means everybody, all mankind, all people. "For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Each one of us are to participate in the ministry of prayer. There's not a prayer gift, right? That's not one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's one that everybody has. Everybody has the ability, the need, hopefully the desire to participate in the prayer ministry. As I'm going through this list, you might identify with one of these and say, "Hey, I really enjoy participating in this," right? Maybe you really enjoy teaching your children, or maybe you enjoy teaching others about, or maybe you really enjoy spending time in prayer with God. I'm not wanting to say that you can't emphasize one of these, but what I'm saying is that each one of us has a responsibility to do all of these. Each one has a responsibility to share to share Christ with others. Each one of us has a responsibility to lift each other up in prayer. We do that together, corporately. We do it privately. We pray for the church. We pray for the community. The Bible says that in all things we should be praying. Luke 18:1. It's the beginning of the parable about the older woman who keeps complaining to the judge, and the judge finally gives in to her, and he says, and then Jesus says, if this judge was able to give in to this woman after she just repeatedly praying, wouldn't God, who is good, who is not evil, wouldn't he also give you the things that you need? But in the beginning of this, it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." Isn't that a wonderful verse? That men always ought to pray and not lose heart. You know, sometimes it's easy to pray about something and then pray about something and say, "Well, I guess the answer is no." Right? That's not what God has taught us. Continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Keep on praying. Don't lose heart. The third one is the ministry of worship. And here we're this morning, we're doing corporate worship, worshiping together. I'm literally speaking to the choir, right? Because you guys were all singing a moment ago. Psalms 116, 12 through 14 says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people." Corporate worship. Colossians 3:14 through 17 says, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In corporate worship every week, we gather together to do just that, to dwell on the Word, to sing songs, to give thanks, to teach and admonish one another, to remain faithful, to do all for the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever we do, to do it for him. But unfortunately for some, that is just all that is there, right? It's just a once a week thing. It's like going to Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. It's, well, maybe not Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. That, there's a lot of homework with Boy Scouts, isn't there? I think there is a lot of homework there. But the idea is that our worship, our corporate worship, is to feed out or from our private worship. That as we walk with God each and every day, we are being woven together with him. Our lives are being woven together with him. And then we come together as a family in corporate worship. If we're not worshiping privately with God, if we're not following him day by day, we are missing out on the greatest aspects of corporate worship. It's like the part that's not doing its fair share and is just along for the ride. Is this even on? Can you hear me? Okay. Psalms 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of..." Oh. All right, let's start that over. Psalms 29:2. "Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalms 96:9 says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." The idea is that we are to worship God. As we go out into the world, as we see the beauty of his creation, we should worship God. As we go day to day in our lives and we think about the actions that we take, we should worship God. Romans 12:1-2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The idea of Christian worship is not coming together once a week and singing some songs. The idea of Christian worship is to live out every single day that which God has called us to. That to live our life, not for our own will, but for God's will. And to continually be renewing our mind so that we can do that. Colossians 3:23 summarizes it this way: whatever you do, it doesn't matter if you're teaching children chemistry, if you're driving truck, if you're fixing some weapons, whatever you do, do it heartily and do it for the Lord. Do it with all of your heart. Do it to the best of your ability and do it as worship to God. There is a debate in our country right now about what does it mean to have a religious or conscientious objection to something. And the idea is that if there's not a religious teaching against it, you shouldn't be able to say, "Hey, that's part of my religion that I don't want to do that." But in Christianity, everything that we do is part of our worship. Everything. There is not anything that we can set aside and say, "Well, yeah, no, that's not part of my worship of God. I can just leave my worship of God, come over here, do this thing, and then go back to worshiping God." God says, everything that you do, I want it to be done in faith. If it's not of faith, it's sin. And we do it for God's glory. The next one is the ministry of fellowship. Continuing, this is Acts 2, 46 and 47. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness. Now, does that sound like a potluck to you? I mean, it kind of sounds like a potluck to me, but maybe they were just having people over for dinner. Continue daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Before I go on to the ministry of fellowship, I want to back up and say one thing about the ministry of worship. The ministry of worship is not for the worship team. The ministry of worship is not for the pastor. The ministry of worship is for the people to come together and worship. It doesn't matter how much time I spend on my sermon. And it doesn't matter how much time we spend practicing our songs. If you're not here, worship is not being done. The ministry of worshiping God is yours. It's for you. It's not for me. I'm here to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Worshiping God is your ministry to God. It's all of ours. And the same with the ministry of fellowship. Coming together, encouraging one another. Yes, that means be here Sunday morning. But it also means when you see somebody not here Sunday morning, reach out to them. Hey, missed you in church on Sunday. Fellowship is more than just once a week getting together. It's living our lives together, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity. I'll tell you, one of the things, and this isn't for me, right? The ministry is not for pastor, but I'll tell you, one of the things that greatly encourages and warms my heart is when I hear people say, oh, I had so-and-so over last week. Right? That is so encouraging to me because I see that there's fellowship between the body. It is so important. The ministry of fellowship. Each one of us has that ministry to be together, to be a part of the family, to care for each other. The ministry of service. Matthew 25, 35 through 40 says, I was hungry and you gave me food. You know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible about eating, and I like a lot of those verses. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Were you a stranger? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did this to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Each one of us is to do the work of the ministry, to go out and serve people who are in need. Whether that means visiting the sick, taking over a meal for somebody who maybe had a surgery, taking somebody out who might be discouraged, looking after a family who's going through a rough time, helping them. That is the work that we are to be doing in the church. That is the work of the ministry. The ministry of giving. Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be put into your bosom. For the same, with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And Proverbs 19:17 says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. Each one of these we could probably spend a week on. The ministry of service, the ministry of giving, the ministry of encouragement is the last one I want to cover this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are also doing. I don't know about you, but there are times when I get discouraged. There are times when I look at maybe where I'd hope to be by this point in my ministry, in my life, in my walk with the Lord. I thought I was going to be perfect, and I'm not. And it's frustrating. I thought everybody was going to be better by now, and they're not. And it's frustrating. We all need encouragement. We all need to keep going. And each one of us has not only the ability, not only the capability, but the duty to encourage one another. Hebrews 10:19-25 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed pure with water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised us is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The ministry of encouragement, it is so important. Now, all of these are often weaved together. And I don't necessarily want to try to say, oh, this is the ministry of encouragement. Oh, this is the ministry of the word. Oh, this is the ministry of giving, right? They're all together. It's all part of the ministry. We all contribute in all different ways. But what is the object? What is it that we are doing here? What is the purpose? Not the purpose, but what is the object? What is the direction of the ministry? I want to close with this. 1 Peter 4:1-11. First of all is that we endure suffering for God's glory. The object of our ministry is the glory of God. The aboutness of our ministry is the glory of God. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Wait a second. I thought we were going to live happily ever after. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Whew. I didn't really want to hear that this morning. You're telling me that I got to live differently than everybody else? Yeah. And that's going to cause some waves? Yeah. You're called to live differently. Not join in with everybody else who's been doing the same thing, ruining their lives, wasting their time. We are to live differently, and we are to recognize that they are running towards destruction. There was a quote that I saw, something about when the whole world is headed off a cliff, the person who's not seems insane or something like that. Does anybody remember what that said? Nobody. Okay, great. Endure suffering for God's glory. When you stand up for truth, when you stand up for what's right, you might stand alone. And that's okay. Because you are standing on God's word. And that's a foundation the world cannot take out from underneath of you. You are secure. So endure the suffering. And secondly, show love for God's glory. But the end of all things is at hand. And therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all these things, have a fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, it is you who belong all authority, dominion, power. It is you who are praiseworthy. It is you who should and do and will receive the glory. And so, Lord, as we think of the ministry of our church, but really, Lord, the purpose of our new life in Christ, as we have been called out of the life of sin, out of the darkness, into the light, to serve the Lord with gladness, to come before Him, and to recognize the victory that is already ours. Yes, we live in a world of darkness, a world of sin, a world of pain, but we have already been given the antidote. We have already been given the victory. We already have the peace in our hearts. And so let us stand firm in faith. Let us stand together as these days remain, because this world is passing away. It will be no more. And then, eternity, glory with you. That is what we look forward to. That is our hope. And that is what we will wait upon. Yes, we do work our very best to have your will done on this earth as it is in heaven. But that is not where our hope lies. Our hope does not lie in making this world and turning it into heaven. Paradise it will not be. But that is where we will be. When we enter eternity to be with you, and we see you as you are. That is the blessed assurance that we have. That is a truth worth dying for, worth living for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.